Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and liftoff.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the tire.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Step Up and Speak Out with Trish. I'm Trish Springsteen. I'm a public speaking mentor, coach, and author, and my passion is mentoring introverts, advocates, and authors to help them be able to have the confidence to step up and speak out and share their message with those who need to hear it. Numbers to check in. In North America, if you're listening and you want to call in with a question, call 646-716-7979. And for those outside North America listening in, just follow the links. You would have been in on tobtr.com/9534545. Follow the link and put your question in the chat. And of course, as always, you can always contact me, PM me on Facebook, and we can have a look and put your questions into the Facebook PM, and I can pass them on to our guest. And talking about our guest, our speaker today is Joel Harding, videographer and founder of Hoofdedia. Welcome, Joel. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Trish. It's great to be here.
I'm very much looking forward to speaking with you very shortly, and we're going to demystify videos and talk about how valuable they are to your business. We'll be back shortly. As I said, I'm going to be speaking with Joel, and it'll be about the power of video in marketing and how you can use it for your business. And we're going to be looking at, when we speak with Joel, about self-produced versus professional. Meanwhile, let's have a look at today's frequently asked question. Today's question that's come in: how can you overcome fear of the unknown in public speaking? You may have recalled in the previous episodes, I've talked about how you overcome fear of speaking. And at that time, I did say that one of the fears that came up with the speaking and why you didn't get up to speak was the fear of the unknown. And so I had few people may say, well, how do we get over the fear of the unknown? Well, you know, the easiest question that I could just glibly say is, we'll make the unknown known. So how do we do that? Well, one of the things I talk about is familiarization. And when you do that, when you become familiar with things, that's basically making the unknown known. You're getting used to it. You're getting to know what to expect. What's going to come up? What's out there? So specifically, we're talking getting familiar with the audience, getting familiar with the actual speaking, the act of speaking. So the more that you get up and speak, the more familiar you become with speaking. That's the way that unknown causes of what would it be like if I got up to actually speak. It's finding out about the venue, where you're going to be speaking. Because sometimes if you don't do that and you walk in, you could be surprised. You may be expecting to speak in a large room, but you might find yourself in a small room. You might suddenly find that you have to speak from the stage. Now, those are all things that are not going to help you be more confident when you're speaking. So become familiar with that. Find out these things. Ask some questions. Where will I be speaking from? Is there a stage? Is there going to be microphones? I'm in a boardroom. Is there going to be a lectern? Where will the lectern be? If I'm going to be using a PowerPoint, where's that going to be situated? How is that going to be? A big green, small green? All of these questions are making the unknown known. And when you make the unknown known, then you become just that little bit more confident with speaking. Ask about the person who's introducing you. Are you being introduced? Find that out. Make sure that you're comfortable with the technology. The more comfortable you become with these issues, the more you take the un out of the unknown, then the more comfortable you can be and more confident you can be, you can then concentrate on what you're presenting and making that connection with the audience. The fear of the unknown in public speaking, become familiar with everything that's involved with the speaking so that you can then be the person you need to be to speak with your audience. So, I always share tips, techniques, and strategies each show. If something you would email me on info at trichl.com, and then tune into the next show to hear your answer. And of course, as always, you can email me on Facebook, send your questions there, and I'll share them with the next show. It's my great pleasure to introduce our guest today, Joel Harding. Joel is a videographer who loves seeing businesses succeed, particularly when his videos have played a part in their journey to success. Films and business have always been a passion for Joel. About 10 years ago, he discovered them both by creating videos which would enable business owners to communicate effectively to the client. Why on so well with Joel, because I'm passionate about communication. So he does that medium of videos. Since then, Joel has worked with Coca-Cola Amatil, Queensland Rugby League, Dynamic Sports Marketing, and various schools around Australia to promote their businesses, inspire staff, gain new clients, and sell more products, all through the use of video. Joel is always keen to talk to anyone about their marketing strategy and brainstorm different ways video can be included in their marketing campaign. So if you're in Australia or in around the Caboolture region, which is where Joel is, you can have a good cup of coffee with him, or obviously anyone around the world can get hold of him via Skype. And Joel will let you know how to do that towards the end of the show. So welcome, Joel.
It's great to be here. I'm a grateful opportunity. Sorry, it's just broken up a bit.
Oh, okay. What's the weather like up there at the moment?
Oh, we're back. Yeah, really good. Actually, it's a little bit overcast today. It's a little bit overcast, but still sunny and shining, so it's going to be a good day.
Okay. We may have some technical issues. As everybody knows, my speed is not the best. However, today I'm actually broadcasting the show from down in Geelong in Victoria in Australia, which is quite a way away from where I usually live up in Morayfield. So I'm hoping that our technology here is going to be just that little bit more faster and better than what we sometimes have. So if we do have a few breaks, I'm using a Wi-Fi that I'm not much control over. Let's just start off. I think this is a good idea. I mean, what video at all?
Sorry, just say that again, sorry. I just broke up a bit.
Yep. What are video good?
What we do, it can have quite a wide, specification in what we actually do. There's different ways you can do things. But basically what we do, we go in and we capture the stories that are around us. And what we usually do is go into a place and have a bit of a chat to someone, and we go and we capture moments or events, and we then go and we edit them into a nice package, which we give back to the client of their event or of what has just happened.
And how long would that approximately take? I know it can be quite a long while. So how long would you put aside something like that?
Yeah, look, it does vary from case to case, and every job's totally different. Like, I've had some jobs where you can get a turnaround in a day, you know, on a smaller job, and I've had ones that take, you know, up to 1 or 2 months. So it comes down to the complexity of the actual job, and also how many days you need to film, how long they want the end result to be. Because one thing that is unseen in the world, and most people don't see, the hours that are put into the editing. Editing the video takes the longest amount of time usually. And there's also the pre-planning. Pre-planning for a successful video, that takes quite a lot of time and effort as well. So there's lots of unseen hours that people probably are not aware of that goes into creating a great video.
Yeah, I have to agree with you that I remember when I first started being interested in videos and that I really was surprised at how long it takes to edit them. And that is probably why when people look and go to someone like you and say, I'd like to have a nice video for my business and I really only want a 3-minute video. And they look at what you cost them and I think, well, I'm doing a 3-minute video. Why are you charging me this much? And yeah, it's because of the editing, isn't it?
Exactly. And one thing, and that's where really, I guess, our craft comes into it, is that what we do is we're able to, communicate and we find the story within what people are trying to communicate. And if, for example, there are some things which you can script and some things you don't want to script, like a testimonial from different people. And so when you go do it, you might go, like recently I went and filmed, I think about 3 or 4 testimonials, went in for about 8 minutes each. And so you add all that up, you're going to bring it down to 1 minute, 2 minutes, and you've got to go through every single word spoken, categorize every single part, go through, okay, what part's going to come through the best, chop out different sentences, and then bring them back together, make it one authentic communicated message. It takes a long time to do a good job, but it's always worth it.
What's the best part that you like with working with people?
Look, one great thing about my job is I get to go and meet so many different people. I love it. And just meeting the people behind the businesses, I really love that. And for me, one of the key things to actually do to actually create a great video, it's all about being authentic to the people who you're creating the video for. And for the business, you actually go in and you talk to them, get to know that person. And because businesses are such a personal thing to those who are involved in it, you get to know the business, you get to know the people, and I just love getting to know people, you know, and creating something that they're really proud of.
So you just mentioned there about getting to know the business, and you mentioned just a bit about pre-planning. So if you were to go into a business, let's just take us through, say, to the normal way that you would go. Someone called you up and asked you to come and do some video of their business. Just take us a little bit through how you would process that.
Sure. Well, I'm actually got a meeting on this afternoon, which I'm going to go to. So first of all, usually most of my clients, one of the big ways I get to know them or is through word of mouth. It's a very much, and when people see my work, they recommend it to their friends. So what I initial contact, we have a phone call and we organize a meeting. And then we go and I just go and I just hear what they want, what their idea is. And we just talk and I just find out more about themselves and about the business. And also what's really important is what is actually the goal of the video? Like what do they want to try and achieve? And then what I do, okay, well, that's your goal. Let's make sure we work this whole thing around how can we best reach your goal and what message should we communicate and how should we communicate that message to reach your goal. So it's a lot about communication. And again, pre-planning is and those pre-production is critical to having a great result.
So the pre-planning, then what would be the next step? You would actually set up the time to go and do the videos?
Sure, yeah. So then we, after we, I guess, we settle on the idea and what they're wanting, they're happy with that, we then go, or I go about and just make sure I have all the resources we need to create that video. For big productions, you'll hire some actors, make sure they're all available, settle on prices for them. And then also you'd go and hire any additional equipment that you may need. And then there are smaller ones. There are some ones when I can just go and I can, you know what, for what you want, I can come and do this myself and it's a lot simpler and easier. So what you do, you get all you need, schedule a day, and then you go and also what you also do with testimonies is sometimes in part of the process of getting to know a business, I send through just a little bit of a questionnaire to the business so I can get a bit of an insight into how they work and how they think. And I use that as well as a bit of a guide in creating in the pre-production phase a plan of an attack, so to speak. So once I get there, you go, you set up all your lights, camera gear, and then it's very important to make sure that when you're doing, say, an interview, that most people are a bit nervous, which is probably normal, which you probably come across a lot yourself in different things. And so you always want to make sure that you make sure that the talent of the interview person that you're interviewing is very relaxed. And yeah, and sometimes you do some warm-up questions just to get them relaxed, and then you go from there into the interview of the pre-arranged questions you might have. And then as you're talking, you might go off on a little bit of a tangent, which you feel is valuable to the overall reaching the goal.
And the hard part comes.
That's it. look, it is. And like the thing is, I've been doing this for about over 10 years now, every single point of the production process is really important. I should say, and I mean, I think the actual editing, or the editing side is the longest and more time consuming point of the whole production. But that's when you do your pre-production right, it saves time, which saves money in the end, and you get up with a better result. But yeah, editing can, because it's a blank canvas, you know, in one sense, and you've got all this data, all this video, and all this interview footage, and it's like, well, okay, that's great. I've got to make this come out as the way I've planned it, you know. And I think that's one good thing, I guess, about what I do is that whether I'm doing it by myself or I've got a team there, because I'm there overseeing, I've met the clients, I know what they want. I can be involved over the whole entire process, and that really helps getting a really good outcome. Done, you know, but with the editing, like some things that people don't understand, or of course they just don't know because they wouldn't know because they're not editors, is the fact there's so much that goes into it. Just cutting two different clips together, making sure the sound for those clips don't pop or whatever, you know, and picking the right music is critical. That takes time, and changing the levels of the audio, color correcting all the video footage. There's just so many little things that most people probably wouldn't know about the editing process and why it takes quite a long time.
And I think that sort of leads me to a question. I'm going to my next question, because we've been talking like maybe professional videos. So that's what a videographer does, professional videos. And then I sort of want to talk to you about, well, what about self videos? People, you know, we've got a lot of people out there, videos, and I talk about my people as well, and say, if you're going to want to do your business and you want to brand your business and get your message out, videos is where it is on social media. Yeah. So we have live streaming, and you've got people doing their little videos and that. So what's your view against it, you know, opposite of people doing their own videos and professional videos?
Look, I think both are very important. And with a professional video, one thing that's so good about that is that it creates a professional image of your brand. And not only that, but it's also, I mean, we live in an age where you do judge a book by its cover. And I think having one bit, because if you have a poorly created video that's meant to represent your whole entire company and brand, well, if it looks poor, they think your product's poor or your brand's poor. And so if you have a professional looking video, they go, oh, you or yourself or your products must be professional. That's just how we're wired to think. But that being said, the selfie videos are extremely important as well. And I recommend people to do these ones because they're not meant to be professional. They're more about putting yourself out there, getting your brand out there, and your personality, it changes your personality. It builds rapport with your audience. And it gets your image, your face, your brand in front of your audience a lot. So, yeah, they've both got their, I think, their uses. And, you know, they have advantages and disadvantages. Like professional video, it costs some money. But with a longevity to that video, and might use it for a whole year. Selfie videos, you do it yourself. And it's instant and it's free. you know, and so, and you can do more and more of those, and there's a more turnover of those instant ones. So they're both very, very important, and both have their place within the business.
Ah, absolutely agree. I do believe if you're going to be wanting that professional video, you need that as the first impression, especially up on your website. And if you're going to be speaking, you need a speaker's sizzle reel and absolutely need good videos of you speaking. So let's have a look at those with the selfie videos, for example.
Yes.
What sort of equipment? People might say, I don't know where to start. I want to do some little videos. I've gone and maybe, come and see you and I've got a professional video. But I want to do some of these little videos. What do I need to do it? So some tips for them, Joel.
Yeah, great. Look, the good news is everybody pretty much owns a smartphone these days, and they all, are selfie video ready, so to speak. And so all you need is a smartphone that has the ability to record video. That's all you need. And the good thing these days is it's getting so much more popular these days, even with Facebook Live, which is live streaming of videos. And the big difference between a selfie video, which you upload to YouTube or to Facebook or to your website, and versus the Facebook Live video streaming, is the fact that obviously when you stream live, you can't edit. Once it's there, it's there. All mistakes, which mean good and bad. But with when you do it, maybe you might do a selfie video when you've got some products that you want to show. You can control that and do a bit of a simple editing. So look, all you need is a smartphone, to get into it. And a couple of tips when you do a selfie video is, first thing is, with a professional video or a selfie video, who you are, your personality comes across, your vibe comes across. And so everything, how you look, how you talk, how you present yourself, that creates a message and communicates to the audience. And so in saying that, it's really important that you just be yourself and be authentic, because unlike a photograph, which is like one snapshot of you, you're in a video, you get a whole, snapshot of a person's personality, and you come alive in one sense. So it's really important that, first of all, you be yourself and you be authentic to who you are. If you try and do something you're not, it's going to come across and people are going to realize, I don't believe what you're saying, and therefore that is bad for your product, bad for your brand, and it's bad for you because you get all nervous because you're saying things you don't know about, And if you do a selfie video, when you start off, look, just keep it short. Keep it 1 minute. And what I recommend is just pick, make a goal for yourself. So, I want to do one a week for this month. And just write down four topics that you want to talk about, one each week, and just write down some dot points for each of those topics. And then, have a bit of a practice and think about what you want to say. Then just give it a go. Record yourself. Make it 1 minute so it's short. And then you'll find as you keep on going and doing more and more, you'll get more, what you think works, what people respond to through comments and feedback. And I think that's one thing really important to do. Just give it a go, have a plan, but keep it short, smile, be yourself.
Couldn't agree more. I think that's very important. And actually just having a go. Stepping up and doing it.
Exactly. Like what you said before about fear, it's like, it's that unknown. What if I do this? What if I look funny? All that kind of stuff. But just give it a go. And the good thing about selfie videos, and they're instant, so you can go up and they're meant to be only looked at once or twice, and then you put another one up. So, you can go through them quite a bit, as you practice. And that's good.
If someone wants to take a step, like do a selfie video, they might want to do a bit of editing and putting some, making a little bit fancy. So what are some simple software programs that people could maybe get that would help them do that? I think there's some free ones out there. There may be some paid ones. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, look, it's quite amazing, but on my phone, I actually have a simple video editing software on my phone. So when it comes to a selfie video, I can actually edit it on my phone. And look, some of the things I suggest that when you are doing selfie videos on your phone is that there's whenever you start pressing record on your phone, there's always these awkward 5 seconds where you press trying to find the button, you press record, and you're still looking at the phone weirdly, and then hello, I'm recording. Oh, hello, you know, and that looks really weird, and it's not really good. Even though it is a selfie video, you want to get rid of the untidy stuff. So one thing I recommend is that when you do start doing your selfie videos, if you can, just press record on your camera, on your phone, and just pause, smile, look at your camera on your phone, and then begin. And then at the end, do the same thing, say goodbye, thanks for listening, smile, pause, look at your camera, and then press stop. And then what I do is you go in and you actually just edit off very simply the beginning and the end where it's just very untidy and you're mucking around trying to press the button and it doesn't work properly the first time and all that kind of stuff. So doing that is really important. Plus, if you can, I usually use a bit of music in the background of mine. And you've got to be careful when you first try to add music to a video that you don't overpower the words. So it's all about communicating the message. And so you don't want to have music that's going to actually, compete against what you're trying to communicate on the video. So look, there's all free ones out there. Like I know both Mac and PC, they come with their own built-in video editing programs. There's Movie Maker and iMovie. And so like that's all you need. You know, that's all you need. So you can either do it on your phone, which is quickest and easiest, or you can do it on the different video editing software that comes with the most computers these days. And I'll suggest that if you are looking to do that quite a bit, and particularly if you are going to use the actual video editing software on your computers, create for yourself a slide at the beginning and at the end, just to say who you are, put your logo there. I only have it on for about 4 seconds. With a nice bit of music, and then comes back to you. So there's all different things you can do. Depends on what you want.
Excellent. Your phone. Which have you got a Apple or Android?
Yeah, I've got an iPhone phone, and so that comes with iMovie on the actual phone itself, which is amazing. So I can actually just use this film. Bring it into the iMovie on my phone and just simply edit my videos and add soundtracks to it as well. Like I can add sound to my, you know, it's really good. It's quite easy. And also I think you can also add if you want little titles and all that kind of stuff. So it's amazing what you can do these days.
I'm not sure about, much about the Android, whether they've got that as well.
I do not know because I do not own one, but I tell you what, I would say yes. I think one of those things or whatever, you know, the iPhone has, the Androids have, people can create apps that do odd, similar things. So I'd definitely say they're out there. I can try and have a look for some options for your listeners and I can get back to you with that if you'd like.
No, that'd be good. I do have an Android myself and I do know there is an app that I've downloaded to do a little bit about editing, but don't actually edit most fine on my phone. I usually upload it onto my computer on my PC and I actually use Camtasia to do it. Love Camtasia. Yeah.
Now, talk about that. Why do you love it? Like, what do you find about that you really enjoy?
Because I can play with it a little bit more. I'm probably a little bit older than some people, so I'm using things on my phone, not up to doing that. So when I upload them, because I love Camtasia and I find it very easy to use, I can do all sorts of things in that and I can add in the openers and background. And, of course, I've been using Camtasia for about 5 years and I'm a slow learner. I only just discovered about 4 months ago that I started adding. Yeah, it takes me a while to learn some things.
the thing is, when it comes down to it, I have this rule, whatever works, works. And the key is what you said before, it's easy to use. Great. And that's what you want. You want something that's easy to use because in the end, when it comes down to an editing program, they all roughly, you know, when you get up to high-end things, it's differences. But for all that we will need to do, you can use whatever you want. Whatever works, works. And, it's not about this brand or that brand. It actually, they all do the same functionality of editing and adding And as long as you can add multiple layers of video, different layers, different types of video, add some soundtrack to it and add some titles to it, that's all you need. Yeah, so that's great.
So we'll come back to that, hold that thought. I'm just going to take a little bit break and do a little bit of letting people know what could go just in a minute. So remember, people listening to Step Up Out with Trish, and we've been speaking with Joel Harding. If you have a question or you've been listening live, you can call in on 646-716-7979 if you're in North America. If you're outside of North America, follow the link that you were on, which was obtr.953-4545, and follow the links there to put your questions to the chat box. And of course, as well, you can PM me on Facebook. I've got that up looking at that, and I'll see your question and I can pass that on to Joel. So we've been speaking with Joel, we've been talking about all things video and finding out a little bit of information about selfie videos versus professional videos, why sometimes people think videos are expensive when they go to a videographer. We've been finding out that it's not just the 3 minutes that the video is done looking straight at you. There's a lot more to that. There's the pre-planning, there's getting to know the business, and then of course there's the editing, which takes the time to give you the finished product that you're looking for. So Joel, I wanted to ask you, what's the most unusual video job that you've had, which you'd like to share? Something that you've, you know, came out of left field or was a bit different?
Let me have a think. That's a very good question. I've done a couple of different. I did a music video for a heavy metal band that just came out of the blue, and that was interesting. That was interesting. Wasn't expecting that. Not the type of music that I always listen to. But look, that the things like that is like every single week is different. Every day is different for me. Like, I have a rough schedule for a week, but things just pop up like at the last minute here or there. It's one of those industries where people go, oh, that's right, we need a video. And they give you a call. Hey, we need to come tomorrow, you know. In some instances, other ones are more planned. So you have like, oh, yeah, in 2 weeks' time, I'm going to go and do this. But, yeah, it's a really interesting and varied one. One time, I'll tell you a quick story. I was filming the placement of these new houses being portable houses that actually go and actually modular come down and they put in people's backyards. Now, this, and I was trying to document this whole process. They had the worst run. As they were running the, on the back of the truck, the house on the back of the truck going up the highway, pieces of wood was flying off the house, causing traffic problems. They eventually, instead, they were 2 hours late to where they should have been. Then coming down the street, they were coming down a street, what was it, like a school zone. School had just come out. And as the car, as the truck went underneath a power line, the top of the house pulled down a power line in the middle of the street in the school zone. And it was just a comedy of errors. I couldn't believe it. Thankfully, no one got hurt. But that was one of the most weirdest and surreal things. Is this one job, almost everything went wrong that could have gone wrong. It was hilarious.
And of course, you caught it on video.
Oh, of course. Yeah, I did. But they don't quite want that to be shown from the business. But I did catch it on video because it was quite funny and we couldn't believe it. Everything was just going wrong. They were 2 hours late, and then they were only like 100 minutes away from the house, but they couldn't move because the power lines had come down. And like, we're so close, so far, and just like, this is just a bad day. So.
Okay. And so that's the most unusual videos that you've been doing. Which leads me to question, why do you think some businesses are afraid to use video? We've been talking about that. This is, you know, social media, video. It's really the place where people need to be. But why is it that some businesses are afraid to do that?
Yeah, again, I think it's a little bit like what you talked about before, about the unknown, fear of the unknown. Because we all have this fear, and when you have a video, something bit more permanent about who you are. And it is about putting yourself out there. Whenever I film people, like people most generally, they don't want to be interviewed. They want to not be interviewed because they're going to be on screen and up for everyone to see. I think people are just a little bit afraid of themselves being in a public space, a public arena in one sense. And I mean, it's easier for a CEO to say, yeah, go and create a video and film all those guys, you know. but that's what they do. But the thing is, I'll tell you something interesting. In my time going around and filming at schools, CEOs or whatever, it's always the person, usually, generalization, the principal or the CEO, they're the ones who are usually the most nervous. And I think part of it is because they put pressure on themselves. They're like, I am representing the whole company, I must get this right. Or I'm representing the whole school, I must get this right. But in doing that, they usually get nervous and they start to clam up, which doesn't come across too well on video. So, you know, it's one of those things that I think, yeah, it's the unknown. They haven't done it before. And but that's when I come in, help them to talk to them about what goals they want to achieve from this and go, well, okay, this is how we're going to go. Here's some examples of what I've done in the past and go from there. So that's, it's the fear of the unknown. That's what it is.
And one of the ways they can get out of that is to start doing little videos and probably do some selfies to get used to it. And of course, come and see me and speak with me, because that's what I do, is help them to become more comfortable. I work a lot with videographers because of that, to get more comfortable. You mentioned about, I just caught one word from what you were saying about updating, and you're saying how longevity of videos.
Yes.
What is the longevity of videos? How often should we update? Because, yes, we get these professional videos and we put some time and money into them. How long do they last? Or was that how long is a piece of string question? When should we update them?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would always say, as far as professional videos go, once a year at least once a year, because every year you have a fresh vision for that year. And you might still have the same goals, but how you approach it is slightly different. And particularly if you have repeat customers, you know, you want to show them, hey, you know what we're trying to do here, we're still doing it, and guess what, we're actually doing it better now. And so I always say to people, get one done, and you know what, I'll create a video which you can use for as long as you want. But I for your sake and for, you know, this represents your company, things change in a year. Even video styles change. Like, you go, like, videos are online now compared to even 5 years ago. It's totally different style. And so, the biggest reason, I think, it comes down to just for you being able to always present a freshness to your company and to potential customers.
And, of course, sometimes your whole business changes, and then, of course, that's when you have to get a new one, when you rebrand as well.
Yeah, exactly. Or you have new products come in, or you have someone leaves from the company, which you had on the interview. You know, there's all different reasons why, but I always would say, you know. I mean, and then there are other clients who, like, they get, for lack of a better word, a professional selfie. People or accountants who want to always present professional looking quick 1 minute videos to their audience, you know, on Facebook or whatever it may be. And so they're always getting ones done every single week, which is great because it creates a database, a video library of content for their viewers, which they don't just watch once, or they have it there for the next, you know, 5 years, you know. So those also creating videos, actually create a video library about topics, is really helpful as well in some situations.
Well, that's a good idea, video library, which you can pull out and mix around, especially on social media if you want to do short posts, because social media moves fast, Facebook, so you can always repurpose that and reuse it again in about 2 or 3 months, because that brings it back up to people's attention. A question of, like, what sort of videos are there? What are the different types of videos? Because I think there's several different types that you can have, aren't there? And I think we've probably mentioned a couple of them.
Look, there is. There's just a straight out testimonial video where it's just someone saying, oh, yeah, I brought this product. It's fantastic. It's changed my life. Then there's actually something that's totally different, but still falls into the video category. It's what's called a motion graphic, and it's more of a voiceover with some animated little pictures or characters on screen telling a bit of a story, or promoting a product again. Or there's also, you know, what I call more of a story type of video, and I do that sometimes. Like, let's say if I go to a school and I talk about, I might follow a student around and have their story about how before they came to the school, their grades were really low and all that kind of, and all that kind of stuff. And now, since coming to the school, through talking to this teacher, you know, they're now doing really great again, you know. So you're trying to have a bit more emotional push. There's also what I do is video reporting. And this is like new, and I love doing this. It's actually really fun. It's actually for one I did recently was for a school had got some funding from the government, and that to show how they used the funding and how it had been changed. So you do a usual report, you know, write it up, send it off as a letter, whatever. But now I create what is a snapshot, a 3-minute video that does a video report of how that funding was actually used and the result of that funding, you know. So there's all different types. There's fun ones, you know, ones that are a bit more funny, cheeky, that you want to try and go a bit more viral. Look, it comes down to whatever goal you have, and different videos, different types of videos will reach different goals and are best used for different ways. So, yeah, there's many different types, but they're, you know, they are the main ones. And, of course, within a product video, this is just something I just mentioned on the side, one thing is, and I guess you probably go through this as well in different ways, but you want to have a story about a person, let's say a bit of a testimonial, about how their life was before the product, like the whole problem and solution type of story. But you show it, you know, you show them talking about their life before this product, now they've got this product, and you know what, life is great, you know. And you have the music to really show that as well. Because one thing with video is they say that music is 50% of the emotion, you know, and that's why when it comes to professional videos, you really got to pick your music well, because that's going to create an emotional connection with the viewer and affect them emotionally. So, yeah, there's all different types of videos which are best to use to reach different goals.
Basically, the sky's the limit, isn't it, Joel? Whichever way
really
you can, yeah, whichever way you can showcase your business, and the best way you can help them with.
Exactly, and there's general rule, but every single video is different. Every single client's different needs, but there's general rules. But still, you approach everyone uniquely.
You mentioned the voiceover and the animated voiceover. Do you do those as well?
Yes, I do. I've just finished one up actually just last week for a packaging company and storage company. And so, yeah, that's quite fun, different. It's a different, that's a more of a hands-on and much more pre-productions needed for that. You go to storyboarding, come up with an idea, get voice talent, and get the animators on board. And yeah, it's a big collaboration. You've got to get my designer, do designs. It's a lot. It's a lot, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the one thing as well. Again, you think, oh, that's only like a 1 or 2 minute video, motion graphics, but there's a lot that goes into it, a lot, you know. And you can, I mean, again, you do, if they have a budget, you can fit into a budget and you just go, you know, not have such massive high production value. You can fit into different budgets and stuff. But yeah, there's a lot that goes into animation because everything you see, you've got to create from scratch. And depends how complex it is, can take quite a bit of time.
Complexity rules. I know we're the animated one. Sometimes people actually get to see the animated and think that might be a cheaper way. I can say cheaper. than going for the live video. But it actually takes a lot more, because there's a lot more, as you say, design in it, and to do the animation takes quite a long time. So to make it look so easy.
Exactly.
It takes that time.
Exactly. Exactly.
That brings me to the timing of videos. I've been hearing, and you've been sort of saying 1 minute, 3 minutes. Is there an average time that's best for a video?
Look, it comes down to the video itself, the type of video. If it's more of an instructional video, people are actually invested in seeing the whole way through, because they want to know how to do things step by step. So that can be as long as you need to be. That being said, we do have very short attention spans these days. Look, I always go from 1 to 3 minutes, depending on what they need and what they're going for, and how it's going to be used. So, look, unless you're, funny, amazing, this or that, people are going to drop out after a couple of minutes, unless you've got engaging content. And again, it comes down to engaging content. That's why I say, whenever you start doing selfie videos, just start short, Prefer to use, it's best if you just even go for 30 seconds and you're actually really engaging and really happy and really got something to say, than trying to stretch it out over 5 minutes and people get bored and turn off, So it totally depends. I'd say for my ones that I put for my business videos, I go between a minute and a half to 3 minutes. Again, totally depends on what the uses are. I mean, I also did a mini documentary, which this company shows whenever someone comes to their door, they always show, hey, you got some time, watch this video, And it's a great video, because it's about these guys taking a modular home from the sunny coast all the way up to the northern Darwin, up around there, and massive journey on the back of like 3 semi-trailers and going trekking through there. So it's quite interesting. And so that one needs to be a bit longer. So, but yeah, general rule between a minute and a half, 3 minutes is great. Shorter is better, and it takes more skill to be able to communicate things in a short amount of time than in a long amount of time, but it's more engaging. Between a minute, 3 minutes, depending on your purpose and how it's going to be used.
Excellent. And for people listening, we can use videos on our websites as introductions. Mm-hmm. We can do videos of workshops that we do. If those of us out there speakers really require some videos of us actually speaking and put together into a showcase reel for event organizers. And if you're doing online training, you videos for your training that you wouldn't want can be anywhere from, I think the maximum for a video online probably would be about 15 minutes, 10 to 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But usually we break them down into smaller chunks so people can watch the video. There is a variety of ways out there, as you've said, to use videos. The sky's the limit.
There really is. And what's really interesting is what's happening now with Facebook Live, particularly with that. And that's kind of breaking the rules, is that when I would usually say you do a selfie video for maybe 1 minute, do that. But when it comes to Facebook Live, it's really just emerging, and people can go for like 15 minutes. I was talking to this girl the other day, and she's had like about 900,000 views, because she's got this niche market. She creates these really different kind of luxury kind of soaps, and they're really cool and amazing and colorful and stuff. And she just shows people Facebook Live of her making these amazing soaps and stuff. And she has all these views, And so it's amazing how now in different areas with these Facebook Live ones, you can go for up to however long people are engaged for, with the content. It's quite, quite exciting.
I have to say, I've noticed with Facebook Live ones, you've actually got to get going and be actually speaking for quite about 2 or 3 minutes, maybe even longer, to before people have the time, to allow people the time to see that you're on live.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
There is a long period. And,
yes. I'm broken up a bit.
But getting back to this, what is it that you've shared? If you'd like you to share an insight that you've learned from your videography and what you've been doing, Is there something that you could share, that, something you've learned or an insight that our listeners can take away?
I think one thing I've learned is the power of video, and that everybody wants, everybody has something worth saying. And I think video is a really good way of capturing that. And it doesn't matter if you're just, you know, some little kid here or there got like a little fun little story in your head, or, you know, there's those personal videos, and, or a business, is that everyone's got something worth capturing and worth sharing. And I think video really is a great way to do that.
It's the way of letting people see who you really are, and to have your stories. And probably the thing that I would say, and I think you've mentioned it before, and I'll just pull it out again, is if you're going to be doing videos, a few minutes to plan what your message is and what you want people to take away would probably make your videos stand out just that bit more than maybe someone who rushes in. Yeah.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yeah. And again, like pre-planning, and for me, and looking at it from even a budget point of view, if I don't plan things, things can go outside budget because you're spending more time and you haven't filmed it the way you want it to go because you didn't plan it properly. So, yeah, definitely. You're right. You know, planning is key.
Brilliant. One question that I ask all my guests on my show, what do you think makes a great speaker and why?
I think what makes a great speaker and why is someone, first of all, someone who's happy and smiling because you want to engage with that person. And I think having engaging and interesting content. For me, I think that's what I like to listen to, people who are just engaging to look at and also have engaging content and, you know, and things that are good tips about life and that kind of stuff. So, yeah, engaging content and great communication.
Well, if people want to contact you to help you or to information or to see what a sample of what you have been doing, where can they do so?
Well, the best thing to do is go to craftedmedia.net. Go there. I've got some of my latest videos up there and also got all the contact details there. So drop me an email, you know, and I'd love to catch up and have a chat.
Excellent. And I may not be clear that you've worked with. What sort of businesses are there out there?
Sorry, I was just breaking up just then. I didn't quite get the last part.
Yep. Just saying, the sample of the businesses. I know you've mentioned the modular homes and.
Oh, yes.
The businesses.
Oh, yeah, well, businesses, yeah, sure. Done some work with some charities. Done, what else have done? Some work. I said different schools, medical places. Yeah, look, a whole variety. Every totally different businesses out there. Just, you know, corporate businesses. You know, it's just a whole wide range, even small businesses, you know, going into. So what with them, we also agents, yeah, a whole range. It's great. It's so varied. It's so varied, you know, the type of businesses that I get to meet and go in and work with. It's fantastic.
Great. I know doing a lot of videos, some sort of video in your business, because any business can use it. It will take your business to another showcase absolutely personally to everybody. What is your personal, and people want to work with people nowadays, not just know the person behind the business and videos that for you. We'd be thinking about hunting video for people be speaking for an hour or so. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Sorry, I just
breaking up a bit. I think my last few minutes. I'll just Thank you so much, Joel, for being with us and for your passion. We've enjoyed having you.
Excellent. Well, thanks for having me. It's been fantastic.
Absolutely. And great day, Joel. We've been speaking with Joel Harding. Today, the note that I want to finish with is and I think one of the best ways of absolutely include video as one of the ways that you share it. Of course, it's not the only way, but you already written articles. You may already have about taking all of those and using them on video and using video to purpose that. If you contact me, you can contact me on info@trishell.com.au, Innovative Communication Training. Just put Trish Springsteen in on Facebook and social media, Skype discussion session about your business and how speaking can help you, or if you would like me to speak at your event or conference. Thanks very much. Have a brilliant evening or a brilliant day wherever you are in the world, and face the unknown. I look forward to seeing your videos out there. Bye.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Thanks, Joel. See you later.
No worries. Thanks for that. Yeah, just the last 5 minutes just kind of went a bit crackly. But
Never mind.
No worries.
Hopefully it'll be okay.
Yeah, great.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rich.
Bye.
No worries. Bye.